Hello, everybody, and welcome back to OMB Reviews. I am the critic who is a cynic. How is everyone doing this evening? Happy and blessed Tuesday. Welcome to episode 342 of the Welcome to Asgard podcast, where we start off with some news that broke over the last couple of days that I know has a lot of people excited. And that, of course, is the news that Elon Musk has indeed bought Twitter, or more accurately, has entered into an agreement to buy Twitter, which will take place over the next 2 to 6 months. And if things go to plan, he will own the company outright, take it from a public and publicly traded company into a private company, and remake it and rebuild it in his own image. And whether or not that is a good thing ultimately or a bad thing remains to be seen. I think what all of us can say, I think what every single one of us who has ever used Twitter or social media can say, is that it seems likely that whatever it is that Elon Musk has planned for Twitter, it's going to be better, at least in some ways, than what is currently going on with the platform. As right now, the platform as it stands clearly silences opposing opinions and views, whether it is from medical discussions, whether it is from theological or political discussions. In their very terms of service, they clearly have a left-leaning or progressive bias. And so if that is something that is going to change, if that is something that is going to be affected and change for the better, then I'm very excited. If he is able to, like he has with all of the other companies that he has, whether it's SpaceX or Tesla, able to take it running and do a lot of really great things with it, then, hey, you might actually give me a reason to use Twitter a lot more often. And it'd especially be cool if he was able to, through these new decisions and these new ideas that he has to come forward, again, what a novelty, free speech, what a novelty. Maybe, just maybe, he might be able to provide a social media platform that actually allows for the engagement of ideas, that actually allows for online discussions, and actually takes something which inherently I do believe is not an inherently good thing. By that, what I mean is that I think that social media has rotted away the brains of our youth. I think that social media has had negative impacts even on me in my own life, and I've seen the impacts that social media can have. But I also recognize that social media can be a good, and that it can lead to a good and many good things. However, it needs to be handled with a steady hand. It needs to be handled in a way that is going to allow for fairness. Obviously, I believe in principles of free speech. And also needs to be handled in a way that's going to allow for, especially the most exciting thing to me, people to talk to people instead of talking to bots. And instead of having bots influence companies, elections, etc. And also, if anything is going to take down or limit the power of the federal government, of the massive media complex that we all know controls the outcomes of elections just by the information they choose to cover or not cover, if it at the very least turns that into an even playing field, I think that we are in a good position going forward. So again, it's a great victory in a battle. There's still an ongoing war for the soul of, not just for the soul of America, as you often hear politicians say, but really for the soul of our world. And my hope and prayer is that Elon Musk is able to bring that about and turn Twitter into the best Twitter that it could possibly ever Twitter. Anyway, before diving into y'all's chat to see what y'all have to say on the matter, please make sure you smash that like button, light up that fire button if you're watching over on Odyssey, and let's say hello to some people. First off, let's say hello to our people over on Odyssey. Vincent Womack, what's up? Tube U just says, Elon did it. Yeah, very surprising, to be perfectly frank. I thought that there was, I don't know, for me, I just didn't really see it happening. I didn't think the board was going to budge. I didn't think they were going to relinquish power, because that's really what they have done. But the more I heard people break down just the financials, especially with them having to disclose their first quarter earnings or losses on Thursday, it made a lot more sense to me why they essentially had to. Essentially, Elon played them like a fiddle and won. And when you look at what he has done as a business mogul, as, again, the owner of several businesses, and really as someone who, whether you love him or you hate him, knows how to get things done and knows how to do the things and get the things that he wants to get done. In retrospect, I should have had a little bit more faith and belief in what he said that he was going to do. But I definitely had my own doubts about it, not so because of his inability, but more so because of the hard-headedness and ridiculousness of the board. But hey, they did it. And it's crazy. The R says, I feel a bit more free these past couple of days. I know. I mean, even though he hasn't officially taken over yet, it certainly feels that way. I'm seeing so many people post things that people were taken off of the platform for several times. I'm seeing Twitter profiles that were at one point banned and suspended being brought back. So whether or not that's a part of the agreement, that as the agreement goes forward, as the transfer of money and the buying out of shares goes forward, as the, I believe the shareholders are going to be able to vote on whether or not to accept this deal or not, I wonder if Elon had in this agreement, you got to start to change the culture, you got to start to change things in these specific ways. And I wonder if one of them happened to be, you got to start unsuspending these accounts that really didn't do anything wrong. Maybe. It is something that I definitely think would be interesting to find out a little bit more about. But thank you for being there. Let's see. Linad 2M2M says, triggering lefties on Twitter be like, well, welcome, good sir. Thank you for being here. The R says, correct. This is just a battle. The war continues and we must be vigilant. Absolutely. And that's why we need to be active and vocal in our local communities. We need to be active and vocal with our families, active and vocal within our own small subcultures that all of us are a part of, whether it's in our work environment, whether it is just in the group of friends that we're in. We got to keep on keeping on. We got to keep on doing the very best that we can to try and bring common sense and decency back into our world. And even though I think Twitter has become, and has been for a long time, a cesspool in a lot of ways, I think a big part of that is, for one, the numerous amount, the insane amount of bots on the platform, and also the fact that all of the rules and how they were implemented were all one-sided. And so if even the rules stay the same, but it starts to be implemented equally, affecting multiple sides of the political aisle, even just that alone, that evening of the playing field, I think will be huge in the cultural war as it continues to wage and continues to wage on, continues to carry on, for sure. The R says, that white is blinding. Good. It should be. It's the light of Christ. So it should be blinding to you. When is the next cool color? Well, the Easter season, despite what the secular culture would want you to believe, the Easter season is a 50-day season. There's a reason why the end, or towards the end of the Easter season, we have the Feast of Pentecost, 50th day. So yeah, Easter is its own season in itself, so be ready for the white to remain for quite a bit. There is a alternative option, however, it just doesn't really show up nearly as well. I'll go ahead and just do that live. And so this was a gold-yellow option, which I thought, oh, maybe that'll look a little bit better. But I don't know. I mean, it's not as harsh, but I also feel like it just makes my room look like it did before. It just makes the room look like it did beforehand. So, I don't know. Which do y'all prefer? Let me know in the comments. In fact, I wonder, can I create a poll? Can I create a poll? I might be able to make a poll. Let's go ahead and make a poll. Let's see what the people think. Now people are just making things up. So let's see. Which color? And white or or yellow. All right. So the poll is now live. We'll see what the people have to say. I like letting the people have a bit of a voice here. So we'll see what y'all have to say, and then I'll check the results of that poll in just a little bit. Let's say hello to some people, though, in the chat. We got the Master of Gaming, who is here early. Hail to you, good sir. He then went on to give the fact that apparently Sam Raimi, directing Doctor Strange 2, is the first feature film in 9 years that he has done, and the first superhero film in about 15. Yeah, maybe he's out of practice. Maybe he is still on his game. I don't know. What I do know is that it's still the MCU, and it's still going to have a lot of problems going forward. So, JKDX76, who's a member, hail to you. The meltdown has been glorious. Sean King rage quit Twitter. Yeah, he did that for attention. I mean, he was back on the next day. So, I honestly cannot believe that that dude is still around when there's pictures of him as a kid, and it's very clear that he is a Caucasian man. It's like, look, I'm not all for, you know, going into all of that kind of stuff, but when you have clear pictures of yourself as a young Caucasian kid, and now as an adult, and for the last several years, you've been at the forefront of being or claiming to be an African-American civil rights fighter, I don't know. I feel like this is the kind of thing, you know, you have the Rachel Dolezal, who got found out, and last I heard, she disappeared. I don't see how this one is all that much different. Now, maybe someone more educated on this issue can tell me, but anyway, yes, the meltdowns have been pretty insane, to say the very least. It reminds me a lot of when people said back in 2016, if Trump wins, I'm moving to Canada, and they didn't move to Canada. Oh, if Elon Musk buys Twitter, I'm quitting, and then they're not going to end up quitting. The only way I could honestly see a huge purge, self-purge, really, on Twitter, would of major media outlets at the very least, would be if the changes made to the platform are so aggressive that it ends up just killing the platform. I think that could be a case in which they might actually hold to their word, but that would mean that the regular everyday person would likely also fall into a very similar category as well. So I honestly think that it's not likely going to be the case. Gary Banjo Sandwich Worthington, what's going on? Thank you very much for being here. Brian Barth in the chat as well. Hail to you, good sir. Mark Lizeth is also in the chat. Minnesota hockey fan, what's going on, good sir? By the way, I just realized that I forgot to turn Heimdall on, so don't worry. Heimdall is being turned on as we speak. It's been a while since I've forgotten to turn on the great and mighty Heimdall. Oh man, it happens. We like to do this live. We like to do this stuff live. Anyway, there we go. Heimdall is back. He's on. All right, let's see. Right now white is winning against the yellow in the vote. So I think what I'll do is, while it's winning, I'll go ahead and switch back to it. So there we go. Back to the white for Easter. Gold is the only other acceptable color. So those are really the only two options, unless it's the day. I mean, technically it's the feast day of martyrs, so I could technically go red. However, in the 1954 calendar, it's Our Lady of Good Counsel, which would be white. Or blue, I think. But I like this. I would have to get those set up, though. I don't have those colors ready to go as they are. Bruce, what's going on? Welcome back. Cacao Cookies Minion is back as well. Hail to you. Thank you very much for being here. Also, remember, if you have a comment or question on any of the platforms. We're streaming live to YouTube, to Odyssey, to DLive, and theoretically to Twitter as well. But if you have a comment or question, put at Odin at the very beginning of your comment. At Odin, let's be sure you're trying to get my attention, and it means that I can highlight your comment. Unless, of course, you're already a member on the YouTube channel, in which case I will try my best, because my memory can only hold so much information, to remember that you are a member. And if I don't see you tagging anyone else, I'll assume that you're trying to get my attention. Keck44, what's going on? Jacob Ironside, what is going on? Thank you for being here. Also, as new people come in. Let's see. Sherry Allen, what's going on? Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hugh, what is going on, Hugh? Forever Sci-Fi in the chat as well. Thank you very much for being here, good sir, and for being a member on the channel. Waiting for the Orville. What's going on? The wait is not much longer, good sir. Just about a little over a month away. Beginning of June, I believe, is when the next season of the Orville is set to start. Speaking of new seasons, I have not gotten that far into the new season of Better Call Saul. I think I'm about 5 minutes or so into the first episode, which really is more of like a recap, and it's in the future, slow motion, like, you know, packing up of a house. So not much has really happened yet story-wise, but I cannot wait to dive further into that because it looks really good. And Better Call Saul is a fantastic show, just like The Orville is. Orange Air Reviews, hail to you. Thank you very much for being here. I appreciate it. Vincent Womack heading on and hanging out over here on YouTube as well. Candy T, who's a member. How's it going, Candy T? Low Watermark, also a member. Hail to you. Thank you very much for being here. Let's see. Forever Sci-Fi, who is a member, says, I saw the Northman over the weekend. Someone went from woke back to coke. I'm not sure what I watched. Yeah, man. It's a weird one. That's kind of the style of Robert Eggers. He is known to be that kind of art house style, and to have and to utilize that art house style, whether it's in films like The Witch or films like The Lighthouse or now films like The Northman. And I know that a lot of people are loving the film a lot, and I think there are some things in there for sure that are worth praising. To me, I think Robert Eggers needs to move away from this weird crap, though. It's kind of reminding me of the whole David Lynch issue, right? I do not like David Lynch as a filmmaker, because I feel like he's just being weird for the sake of being weird. And I'm not impressed by that. That does not impress me in the least. At the very least with Robert Eggers, he has other things going on that I can attach myself to, like the cinematography, like the actors or other things to that extent. But he has a very similar style in the weirdness factor. Luckily, it's a little bit more toned down. Compared to David Lynch, it's like night and day. But I do think that Eggers needs to, again, I hate to say streamline his content, because obviously I want him to continue to make original, unique stories. But I do think there is a limit. I do think that there is a point where you just say, okay, you know what? I shouldn't go this far. It's not really needed. Anyway, so I gave the film a solid B. I think there's a lot of stuff that's good in the film. There's also some stuff I'm not that crazy about. Bruce says some people in and near to GNG has gotten their Twitter accounts back. Yeah, Jeremy, for one. Jeremy Prime is back. And it's insane because I was looking at his last post, and I can't believe how long that account has been shut down. I cannot believe how long that account has been suspended. By the way, thank you, Forever Sci-Fi and Orange Hour Reviews, for cashing in on your members' super chats, your free members' super chats. I will get to those. Hopefully, they get highlighted in the chat. If they don't, I'll go ahead and read them. But let's see if they do end up in the chat. Forever Sci-Fi says, what they are afraid of, that they will not be able to control the narrative around elections or the coup, since they can't shut that down across all social media now. Yeah. The other big thing, especially, is that I honestly think what you're going to end up see happening is you are going to see those little warning labels, those little warning boxes, right, of saying, this might contain disinformation. I think those are going to go away. And that, I think, is already going to be a massive victory. I also think that we're actually going to get an edit button, which I think is also a very, very good thing. Now, I will say this about the edit button. If you're going to build an edit button, you have to have a history report. And I say that because, let's say you retweet somebody, they edit their tweet, and then they end up saying something that you don't agree with because they've decided to try and troll people. I think being able to look at and see the history of a comment would help with that. So I think that that would probably be the best way to implement it as such. Anyway, it looks like white, as far as the poll is concerned, has won, so we're going to go ahead and keep the white. It is the more appropriate of liturgical colors. Rob D says, "Hello, Odin. Got any new Blu-rays recently? I can't remember the last time I bought a new movie." I think I've maybe mentioned these. So some of them I've mentioned, some of them I have not. These are ones that are available on the giveaways channel or are meant for the giveaways channel. So for I got the Cabin of the Woods 4K Steelbook. I think I've mentioned that one previously, though. Also, these Blu-rays, these were just regular Blu-rays, were on sale. And I bought a couple of copies of one because I realized I didn't have the Blu-ray copy of it, but it's great. Prince of Egypt, if you've never seen this film, DreamWorks does a religious film, and it's phenomenal. All right, chat's jumping on me. Sorry, I got to try and catch up with it. Mark Lizette says, "Saw on Facebook Sunday a new anathema for you pizza with just dill pickles and cheese." Ugh. Ugh. Pickles are disgusting. Yeah, pickles are bad. You know, pineapple by itself, whatever. On pizza, it's anathema. Pickles in general, though, anathema. Minnesota Hockey Fan says, "I'm not on Twitter, but I'm really enjoying seeing the lefties' reaction." Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some Schadenfreude going on for sure. Input Lane C, "Morning, friends. Today's a good day." Yes, indeed. Welcome. Good morning to you. Orange Review says, "As the president in Independence Day said, he did it. The SOB did it pretty much." Pretty much. Visit Womack says, "They had to, especially after they whined about the financial obligations of the board when they thought he was joining." Yeah. Again, he made it very clear to them and to all the shareholders that they have a fiduciary duty to be able to listen out to the deal. GMuggins76, "What's going on, good sir?" He says, can Elon buy YouTube yet or next? I don't know if he can, to be perfectly honest. I know he's got a lot of money, but YouTube would be a lot more expensive than Twitter, if we're going to be honest here. And I think you'll find a lot more people fighting to hold on to YouTube versus Twitter. So, yeah, I would love for something like that to happen. I don't see it happening, though. I really do not see that happening. But you never know. I have mentioned this previously. Elon Musk has talked about how he wants to change a lot of the various issues with the Twitter platform, but he also wants to be able to add features and just make it better. I would be so incredibly happy. And I know that people have already kind of shot this down because they said, well, that's not really what the platform is for. But I think it'd be really cool if he was able to integrate some type of video hosting, video storage, because I think that that could be a really cool way to create maybe not a direct competitor to YouTube, because that would require, I think, a little bit too much overhaul. But I don't know. I'm just throwing out ideas and seeing what sticks. Forever Sci-Fi says, "The gold is aka Odin beige." Exactly. We cannot go back to the old beige days. Let's see. Evan S. says, "My friend who was banned from Twitter in 2016 said he won't come back to the platform because the magic of 2016 will never come back." Well, that's just the thing, though, is that just because a time in the past will not come back, and guess what? Times never do ever fully come back ever, because once a time has passed, it's gone. You might have something that's similar. It might rhyme. You know, history doesn't repeat itself, it rhymes, as you know, someone once said. But I mean, obviously that's their own personal choice, but I think we kind of got to understand it from the perspective of, it depends on what you want to do and what the purpose of you using it is. Like, are you were they using Twitter and did they like Twitter because they were able to talk with people, or was it for news gathering, or what, you know? There's a lot of questions, a lot of questions. Ryan Barr says, "Man, you painted your room in 1 millisecond. Isn't it amazing?" Jacob Ironside, "Lo, there do I see Odin. Lo, there do I see Tina. And Soul Assassin and Vincent Womack, lo, they do call me. They bid me take my place among them. Well, Jacob Ironside, I appreciate the beautiful poetry got there. David L. says, I support whatever color gets River fed more. Well, hey, she's sleeping right now, clearly indicating that she is very, very well fed. Thank you very much. How dare you? yeah, Team Yellow did not win. And I'm glad, because I don't think it looks very good. So, River Sci-Fi, there's a difference between my computer and my PS5 TV display. The gold yellow shows up better on my PS5 TV. Yeah, I mean, those are all about those color calibrations. Let us see. Brian Barth, random question. Thoughts on Jim Carrey's 1990 movies? Depends on which movies you're talking about, because there's a lot of films he did in the 90s. If you're talking about the Ace Ventura films, love those films. I think that Pet Detective is funnier, but I think both of them are fantastic for different reasons. Cable Guy is pretty funny, and I think one of the most underrated films that he's ever done is the... Truman Show. Truman Show, fantastic. I think that was still in the 90s. Not early 2000s. It's that one, and then also The Majestic. I always forget what years those came out in, but The Majestic is probably my favorite film from... probably my favorite film from Jim Carrey. And I know it might be a surprise that it's not one of his comedies, because, I mean, The Mask is so fantastic, but Majestic, man, I tell you, that film is just special, especially as a movie lover. There's just so many great nods to great cinema. Rowdy says, Twitter pre-Elon Musk would have called this chat IST for the color white winning. Oh, for sure. And all of you would have been put on a list if you had voted for it. Orange Arrow Views, yellow gives you the orange head, so I pick yellow. it's all about self-promotion with you, I see. Let's see, the R, hail to all. He is cross-streaming. How dare you cross streams? Never cross the streams. Never. YouTube me, what's going on? Welcome to the channel, good sir. All right, so it does not give me the message, but it does say that you sponsored a message. And so Forever Sci-Fi, thank you for being a member for 26 months. Forever Sci-Fi, 26-month member at the Army of Asgard level. He says, I think that YouTube hasn't been adding months up to memberships for at least a month or two now. I think I was at 25 back in February. Do better, YouTube. Yeah, YouTube sucks. Let's just be honest. YouTube sucks. So it would be awesome if a Elon Musk or something similar took over and fixed the problems, because there's so many problems. Once YouTube decided to stop being a fun social media platform where people could post just silly videos and instead turn itself into big, giant corporate press media dominating everything, controlling their, you know, once they changed to the algorithm game and changed it for the worst by picking winners and losers, essentially, that was really the beginnings of that downfall. And they need it fixed. By the way, I saw someone mention Dumb and Dumber. I love Dumb and Dumber as well. As I said, he did a lot of films in the 90s, and I like the vast majority of them. So, but anyway, thank you very much for that, Forever Sci-Fi. So I'll go ahead and get to Orange Hat Reviews comment, too. He's been a member for 22 months in a row at the Army of Asgard level. Says, Movie Talk, 2001 movie called The One. Jet Li in multiple roles. Have you seen it? Thoughts if you did? I remember the trailer for it. Remember seeing clips from it. Never really had an interest in it, to be perfectly honest. I don't know. That was before I got into samurai films, and I've only ever been partially into martial arts films. It depends on the films themselves. And the trailer just didn't wow me. And then we have a $25 donation via Streamlabs low watermark. Thank you very much for circumventing Mama Susan. And guess what? YouTube ain't got none of that. $25. Thank you very much. Says, enjoy your evening, sir. You enjoy your evening, too. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it. And with a small break, the other thing I was able to pick up for giveaways in the future, I love this film. I know it's got problems historically. I know there's issues in it, but I like it. It's one of those things that I just can't help myself. Kingdom of Heaven. Got three copies of Kingdom of Heaven that I'll be giving away. I would say probably one of the more underrated Orlando Bloom films. This one features the original theatrical version, which I didn't have huge issues with, but it also comes with the director's cut, which is... Let's just say it's fantastic. And it also apparently comes with the director's cut roadshow version, so there's three different versions of it. So this is the ultimate collector's edition Blu-ray, so that is also something I've picked up recently for giveaways on the channel. And then I think I've already shouted them, these companies, out already. But I also got, I still haven't watched them yet because I just haven't had the time, but I also got Jackass Forever, so I'm excited to get to watch that finally. And then I got the 4K for Moonfall. And it's amazing how the image on the cover art looks better than the entirety of the movie. So we'll see. We'll see how that ends up going. Let's see if I can catch up with my Odyssey fam. Daniel T says, white is bright enough, but yellow is even worse. Pick other colors. Well, again, I'm going by the liturgical calendar because that's just the kind of person that I am. That's just the kind of person. Those are the only colors for this Easter season, says the R. Indeed. Indeed. Again, unless it is, now that we're out of the octave of Easter, unless it's a martyr's feast day, I could go red for that one, technically. But for the actual season, it's still white. Yep. That's just the way I roll. Jacques Le Suave says, my favorite thing about these kinds of cultural moments, this anti-groomer bill, is highlighting the hypocrisy. For years, White House says Twitter's a private company. Now they want regulations. Yeah. It's amazing how many people have been clamoring for reform of Section 230 for many, many years, especially because of actions like what happened back in 2020 when Twitter decided, again, using an editorial guideline that it created for itself, to censor a real news story about the son of the eventual president that, based on polling, would have changed the outcome. Those are the facts that we have available to us. That happened. So the fact that these same people who defended the silencing of the New York Post story, the same people that said, that's not news, it's Russian disinformation, we've got countless numbers of former cybersecurity and national security experts who are telling us, and they were all wrong. Every single one of them. Every single one of them was completely wrong. But then as soon as Elon Musk buys Twitter, and the only thing he says in a press release is, I'm for free speech, that gets them all crazy. People start losing their minds, as the Joker famously says in The Dark Knight. But it is insane. It truly, truly is. Vietnam vet, what's going on over on Odyssey? Thank you for joining, good sir. All right, let's go back to the YouTube channel. Candy T says, I love The Northman. It's not normally something I would like, but man, I enjoyed the heck out of it. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of really enjoyable films, or rather enjoyable moments in that specific film. That being said, the weird stuff I just can't get behind. What I can get behind, though, speaking of weird, but the good kind of weird, I put a review out last night because I got home a little bit later because the movie is a little longer. It's one of my only critiques of the film. Finally got to see Everything Everywhere All at Once last night. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Gave a spoiler warning here. I gave an A- to the film. And if you want to hear more of my thoughts about that, check out the video that I posted last night on the channel for my full instant thoughts and review. But that, to me, is weird done right. Because it's weirdness done for the sake of plot. And I think it's brilliant how they make the chaotic explanations for some of the major aspects of the film work. Because they really do work. It's pretty phenomenal. It's pretty fantastic. See, David L. tagged to say, that doesn't impress me much. That doesn't impress me much. You? What are you talking about? I need context. Bruh. I need context. I always need to have context. Otherwise, it just does not make any sense to me. He then says, that doesn't impress me much. You realize you were quoting Shania Twain's song? Oh, you were just quoting me back, I see. That don't impress me much. Now you're going to get me to start singing. Well, you know, I can start singing, you know. And then they all ran away. And they all hated me. Keely Chow, what's going on? How's it going, Keely? Welcome back. Guess who's back? Keely's back. All right. Let's see. Gary Barringer's sandwich says, "Let there be white." Yes, exactly. In the beginning, there was white. Oh, I can only imagine. Speaking about words you say that are also song titles. pretty much. And as always, remember, put at Odin at the very beginning of the comment. If you have a comment or question on YouTube, Odyssey, DLive, wherever, at Odin. Let me know you're trying to get my attention. Vincent Womack says, "I think there should be a time limit, 5 minutes or so, to edit a post. That could be a way to do it too, but I do think having a long-term ability to edit also is important. Because let's say you decide to break a news story, and let's say it gets a lot of traction. But maybe there's an update you need to make because more information comes out later on. Instead of having to repost something brand new that may not get as much traction, then again, that issue could be taken care of if the algorithm gets fixed. You could just re-edit the post that's getting a lot of traction, but maybe you have it where, now this I think you could actually, this okay, here's the compromise. You can edit it at any point. However, as soon as you edit it, at the very beginning of the tweet, it will say edited. And then you should be able, I think you should be able to and allowed to see what the previous version of it was. I think that's the fairest way to do it. But yeah, that way you know if you're retweeting something, whether one, it's been edited before or not. And two, anyone who sees that retweet and then let's say it gets edited in real time, now it shows that it has been edited. And then that person can say, wait a minute, this doesn't sound like something this person would share. You go to the tweet and you say, oh, it's because it used to say something else. I don't know. I'm just throwing ideas out there. You know, obviously Elon Musk is the one that has a lot more ideas than I do. And he's doing a lot of really cool stuff. He's not a perfect person. There's a lot of issues that I and many others probably have with him. But he's doing a lot of good stuff. The biggest gripe that I have with Elon Musk, I think I've mentioned this at least once before. The biggest gripe I have with him, the beef I have with Elon Musk, is that he is anti-hydrogen cars. He's anti. It's not just that he doesn't prefer them. He's pretty much anti-hydrogen cars. Like, he's actually mocked the technology. And that just ticks me off because everything that I know about hydrogen cars shows them to be so much more energy efficient. Not to mention a better ability for longevity of the engine and also greater distances without the need to wait hours upon hours to charge your car. Now, there is going to be a lot of money to get the infrastructure set up. There's no question about that. But once it's set up, there's a lot of benefits to it. Not to mention, as I've mentioned previously, I'm always just amazed whenever I mention it, the fact the only byproduct of hydrogen cars is water, is H2O. That's awesome. That's cool. But that's my biggest gripe that I actually have with Elon Musk, is that he's anti-hydrogen and has mocked the hydrogen cars and has mocked the hydrogen concept. Because I honestly think that it is, I think that if Elon Musk were to take Tesla or one of the other companies he has and were to dedicate time to research and development of hydrogen technology, that to me, I think, would be the future. Because the issue you have going on with his Teslas and with the battery technology he's working on is they have to use lithium ion batteries, large capacity. Lithium has a finite resource. There's a lot of problems as far as the mining of lithium. There's no real good way to dispose of batteries once they've been used. And these are batteries that weigh a crap ton, bringing the weight of the car to be a gigantic amount. And there's just so many, I would say, more ecological issues that you really oftentimes don't think about. But anyway, Daniel Thorne says, "With the bad guys number one, Sonic number two, does that mean furries took over the box office?" No, I think it just means that kids and families took over the box office. Get your mind out of the gutter, Daniel Thorne of DLive fame. What's going on, DLive fam? Jacob Ironside, "I love pickles, but not on pizza. I just, nope, 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 nope. I don't do pickles. No, no, nope. Keely Chanina Infinity thinks pineapple on pizza is disgusting. Well, she would be correct. She is on the winning team. She is on the correct team. She is speaking gospel truth, as it were. So, and again, a shout out to Low Watermark for that donation earlier. I appreciate it. Masters of Nerdom, I'll get to your super chat once it pops up. Robbie says, in the darkest days, there will be light to cleanse the soul and set wrongs right. When darkness falls, look to the skies. A new dawn comes. Let there be light. Unofficial white lantern oath. I don't even know what that is, to be perfectly honest. Vincent Womack says, YouTube never really made any money for Google Alphabet. Shouldn't be that expensive. Well, that's just the thing, is that you're right in that it's not much of a moneymaker, which I think is surprising, at least to me, because I look at just how much money they take from every single super chat, from every single ad. It's insane how much they take. But then you do recognize that the amount of money it costs to keep the platform running, to host all of the data, and to do all of it for free, as far as, you know, anyone can start a channel, upload videos, host the content pretty much with very little restrictions on actually just hosting the content. So yeah, it's definitely a business that has never really been one that's been known to be profitable. And yet they continue to pour money into it. They continue to sustain it. So clearly there is a monetary value to it. And I, as I said, I think a lot more people like a lot more people use YouTube than they do Twitter. You know, Twitter is a place where you go either to troll, keep up and follow with accounts you care about. And really, I think more so for news than anything else, because you get the breaking news stuff. Whereas YouTube, there's just so much you can use it for. You can use it for tutorials, can learn how to build a computer. And even if you watch several videos like I did back a few years ago when I built my own computer with the help of the Asgardian community, it didn't end up working out as well as I thought it might. But you have that. You have that. You have music. You've got so many things. And I think it's because of that diversity of content that would provide its value. So that's why I think it would still be more valuable. Again, it's not based on how much money it might actually, you know, rake in an official capacity, but there definitely is a monetary value to it. And they would not let it go without it being a massive, massive buyout, which I just don't see them doing. Waiting for the Orville, who's a member, says, can Elon buy California and try to fix that? Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be amazing if he decided to buy a state? I don't think you can, but still. Low Watermark says 2 years. I don't know what the 2 years was in reference to. Orange Eye Review, who is a member, says, there was whisperings that smaller shareholders were threatening to sue because the board was going the poison pill route. Yeah. And apparently over the weekend, Elon Musk was able to meet with some of the largest shareholders as well to talk to them about his plans. And all he needed to do was convince enough of them. And I think in the end, as we have seen, he won. So now we just got to see for the see one. There's two parts to the process now. One, the deal actually has to go through, because at this point, that's it. Secondly, he actually has to do what he said that he was going to do. And that is the number one question. Will Elon Musk, after he officially acquires Twitter, will he live up to what he says that he was going to do? And we honestly, at this point, just don't know. Sherry Allen says, am good, thank you. Prince of Egypt is awesome movie with a great soundtrack to match. The soundtrack is almost unparalleled. Talk about underrated films, underrated soundtracks especially. The score for Prince of Egypt is just so beautiful. One of the teacher who's in a classroom next to mine, we usually can hear each other. There's a glass door between us, so it's very easy to hear between it. So she was showing her classes, because she's got freshman Prince of Egypt this year. And I remember I was just sitting in my desk doing work during one of my off periods, And then it was the start of the film. And so then all I hear is just the amazing opening number, Deliver Us. And oh my goodness, it made me want to watch the film. Hearing the Steadfast, what's going on? And yes, I do indeed love Dumb and Dumber. So sorry, I left that out of my original comments. But that should be a given at this point, I feel. Again, very few films did he not... very few films were not good from him in the 90s, I would say. James Hurley, what's going on? And yeah, I would agree. Director's Cut is definitely the way to go. River Sci-Fi, yeah, YouTube autoplayed a CNN video after I watched a courting video today. I came to YouTube for Charlie the Unicorn, not CNN. Exactly. Exactly. And it's that kind of nonsense which has led to the buying of Twitter. Because Twitter fell into something very similar. They decided to start going in an algorithmic model and mode, as YouTube does. And they decided to start propping up the, quote, popular narrative, listing them as, quote, trustworthy sources, providing only them and people who believe like them with a verification badge, which we all remember, anyone who's used Twitter for a while, the verification badge was only ever meant to be a sign that you were who you say you are. There's no reason that I shouldn't be verified on Twitter, because it is me. I am OMB Reviews, both on YouTube and on Twitter. I use that account, therefore, I should be verified. Most of the other social media platforms that have popped up since this time have all been able to get that concept, but for some reason, Twitter doesn't. And so that's another thing that it looks like Elon is going to be fixing as well, for humans to be verified. Now, that itself also, it's a good thing, but how does it look? What actually does that look like? How do you verify yourself? Do you have to submit paperwork of any kind? Do you have to submit pictures of an ID? Do you have to just pay a one-time fee? I think even just that alone could do away with a lot of the bots. Imagine if you were asked, all right, you have to pay a one-time fee of $1 and you get to use the platform unrestricted, and you automatically get verified. Now, is that perfect? Probably not. There's probably some issues. But you know what? I think that would take care of 90% plus of any of the bot accounts. Because think about the number of bots. Think about the think about how much an individual person, like as far as the number of bots that they create on a given day. And then throw into that the wrench of, oh, now they have to pay for every single bot that they try to create. So that, I think, could take care of a lot of it. Now, it wouldn't be perfect by any means, because there might be people with money who would be willing to shell that out. But I do think, nonetheless, that might be a part of the equation. There's not one single thing that's going to fix the issue, but I do think that is one thing that could potentially do it. Because also, at that point, you could say, and maybe this is an argument that will be made, maybe this is something that Elon Musk is considering, is that when you pay, you do not have to send in your personal information. So I could totally see him being like, yeah, you could literally pay in cryptocurrencies. You could literally pay in Dogecoin, pay a dollar in Dogecoin. You know, I think that could be one, hilarious, but I think that could also be a pretty cool way to handle it. I don't know. Jacob Ironside says, I found on Ancestry in one of my family trees a Knight of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. Dude, that is awesome. That is awesome. Talk about a royal and holy family lineage. That's fantastic. Jealous. Jealous am I. Evan S. says, in 2018, I asked Jim Jordan about an Internet Bill of Rights. He didn't give me an answer that Congress was thinking about such a bill, and it wouldn't surprise me. Now, that might be, I think, a way that Elon Musk could handle it. I think that actually would be a pretty good idea. I think what you could do is, I think that Elon Musk could say, hey, let's come together as a community. Because that's the other thing, too, that he mentioned. So, again, if he follows up with this, it could be a really, really good thing if he follows up with it. He said that he wants to get the input of the users of the platform. So people who actually utilize the platform, active users. So what if that means he reaches out to active users and asks them, hey, what would you want us to do as far as rules and regulations? Should we create an online bill of rights for Twitter? If so, what should be included? What should not be included? Should people be able to vote or not? I don't know. I feel like that is definitely a idea that should, in my opinion, get some attention. Because, one, I think it gives an opportunity for people to be able to speak their minds as far as what they want the platform to look like. But also, and I think even almost more importantly, at least then we actually would have a clear set of rules and guidelines to follow. You know, for me personally, I would argue one of the tenets of that Bill of Rights should be that there should be no pornographic material. And you all know where I come from on that, from not just a religious background, but from a sociological one. You look into any of the studies, and that is one of the, obviously not just disgusting, but one of the biggest factors when it comes to the degradation of society. So I think like we could see ideas like that. I don't know. Bill of Rights created by the people for the people. Victor Fontaine says, picked up the Ten Commandments 4-disc 4K steelbook for $24. Sounds like a good deal. What, Victor Fontaine? I didn't know there was that going on. Is that at Best Buy? And it's still available. That's pretty good. Unless that was before and you already picked it up. Helen DeBerger says, so to finally resolve the Lynch versus Eggers debate, clearly Eggers needs to do his version of Dune. Yeah, let's not. I would much rather not. I don't think we need another remake. And but Latency says, I think there would be a few complaints if you were to start singing. I definitely think there would be, especially if I'm not warmed up. James Early, thanks for the tag, brother, says, what's your thoughts on the first Narnia movie and Netflix trying to make it in a series? And I heard it will be like Rings of Power. The first Narnia film, as far as the live action one, I didn't like any of the live action films. I just did not like it. Just did not like any of them. CGI bothered me a lot. The OG animated version, I do think is pretty good. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I do not trust Netflix at all to adapt Chronicles of Narnia. Because, once again, just like Lord of the Rings, it is a story with rich Christian imagery. And we know that these godless companies are not going to be able to respect that and are not going to be able to convey that, and instead are going to focus on trying to push woke identity politics and some version of paganism, occultism in the film instead, which is the very antithesis of what those stories are supposed to be. Philly the Hobbit Allen, thank you very much for the diamond donation over on DLive, good sir. I very much appreciate that diamond donation. Thank you. No message attached to it, but appreciate it nonetheless, good sir. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Masters of Nerdom, what's going on, good sir? Thank you for the $2 super chat. Says, what changes would you like to see from Twitter? I would like to see something done about bots, how that looks and what that looks like. I will let greater minds than mine take over. I would love to see an easier verification process, not because of its status, because that's the problem with it, is that it's become a status symbol, and it shouldn't be. All that the verified symbol should mean is you are who you say that you are. So I think that would be a good thing to add. I think the ability to host video content would be also a great thing to add. It would be awesome to be able to host videos directly onto Twitter, post them directly there for people to watch, to have some type of monetization program as well on Twitter. Because I think that the reach of Twitter could be a lot better, especially compared to YouTube. YouTube's algorithm is so broken. So if Twitter can open up the source code to the algorithm and can even that out a bit and then add something like video hosting, That to me is where it could potentially become a rival. Now, again, I know that that would require a lot, not to mention the space that they would need to have on servers to host that kind of content. But, you know, that's where my brain tends to go, personally. Hamlin and Berger says, following up on my previous comment, since Lynch had Sting and Villeneuve had Zendaya, which musician should Eggers put in his version of Dune? He shouldn't do a version of Dune because I don't think that Dune needs to be remade again. Jacob Ironside, hydrogen power is the way of the future if people would give it a chance. I totally agree. Just look up some of the videos of breaking down how the technology works, because also you get to see just how many tests they have done on those cars. They've literally taken the tanks of hydrogen and shot guns at them to try and show people why they should not be afraid of using it. Orange Air Reviews, they should investigate the trash engine from Phenomenon, converting trash and fertilizer into fuel. I mean, talk about, you know, using trash. Let's talk about the flux capacitor. Let's talk about Back to the Future. I mean, obviously, that would be the ideal. But as far as what could actually be done now, and which is actually possible, in especially in today's world, to me, hydrogen is the one that just makes the most sense. For cars, hydrogen makes the most sense. It just does. The only issue with it is infrastructure, because it's very expensive. But if everyone were to put their attention and focus on that, think about how much money has been spent on the infrastructure for the electrical grid. Think about how much of it's been put onto building these electrical stations. Again, put the money towards hydrogen instead. I think it would be a better, personally, I think it'd be a better long-term investment. It's one of the most plentiful elements in the universe. They already have figured out a way in which to harvest it. It just needs to start getting attention. It just needs to start being able to get some love and some support as well. But then for how to power cities, the future is nuclear power. We could become energy independent from a electrical grid component within 5-10 years. If our politicians finally said, okay, let's stop the hate against nuclear power. Master of Gaming says, what are your opinions on John R. Leonetti films? He has new film post-production called Lullaby. Again, sometimes when you throw out names that I don't know, you need to give me a film that I can connect to that he's done before. I don't know much about Lullaby. So, again, if you can give me some names of films that he's done, then maybe I can give an opinion. Harvey says, did you see the 2005 Affleck ad featuring Melania Trump that I posted in Discord a couple weeks ago? I had tagged you in the post. Yeah, no, I did see it. I remembered it. For sci-fi, Odin the Beige, that was my name. I am Odin the Beige. That was my name. I am Odin the White. And that's not problematic at all. Rob D comes in. Yeah, Odin. But Odin, you have to remember hydrogen cars being long-lasting goes against modern business mindset of you buy it, it breaks the next day, you buy a brand new one for full price after. That's a very true statement. And maybe that's the reason why Toyota, to my knowledge, is the only major manufacturer of a hydrogen car that can actually be afforded by the main populace, the Mirai, I think is what it's called. I know that there have been other hydrogen cars that have been worked on or are in the process of being worked on, but no, you're absolutely right. And I hate that. I really, really do, because I think that technology is so cool. And also, I think that it'd be great. I think that it would be great. But you're right. You're right. I think that it's a very good point. I think it's a very, very good point. Hamlin and Berger, Taddy, say the problem with hydrogen, in addition to the lack of existing infrastructure, is that the clean form the environments prefer takes more electricity to create than it generates. Well, again, that's the reason why you would have to just revamp that entire system and say, screw you to the environmentalist. That's what you would need to do, because the environmentalists are insane. Because the last I heard, the way in which they were going to collect the hydrogen was they were going to have basically cow farms, which produce a lot of methane, and then they were going to have capturers that were going to capture the methane, separate it out, And then what are you left with? And that's where you get the hydrogen from. So they've already got that part figured out. The issue is that no one wants to put their money behind it because everyone has bought into electricity, electric cars, as you know, as far as the actual next innovation. And I think it's the wrong move. I think it absolutely is the wrong move. I think that there's a lot of cool things. It's a really cool technology. However, long term, I don't think it's very sustainable. And maybe that's what they want. Maybe that's what they want. Soul Assassin, I heard rumors that Elon is looking at EA next. That'd be interesting. If he bought one of those companies. Father Christopher Miller, hail to you, Father. Welcome back, Father. Glad to have you back. Chaplain of the channel. Stephanie B, always having buffering issues. What is your Wi-Fi speed? I feel like it's a Wi-Fi issue. Because the computer you have is pretty new. I would know. So it's got to be the Wi-Fi. Run a speed test and see what it looks like. Mark Lazeth, thank you very much for being here. All right, let's see. Nathan Slay, there's a tag. Says, is Northman basically R-rated Lion King? Well, since Lion King is essentially in a way... I forget which Shakespeare each one is based off of. I would say that Northman is a lot more like, was it Hamlet? No. Is it Hamlet? I even forgot that one. My brain is fried. It's been a long week. It's only Tuesday, and it feels like it's been forever. We're in our last few weeks of school. We have so much work to do. There's so many random days where we're doing random events. Kids drive me crazy sometimes. All of them are great, by the way. I'm a huge fan of the last two classes that I've had for the current seniors and current juniors. But sometimes it's just like, you drive me crazy. Because when you give so much, when you provide so much, and then they either ask for more or they still don't understand, because in certain situations it's because of there being a disconnect, which I can work with, and I would work, you know, as hard as I could to try and explain to those people that don't quite understand. But then there's the ones, and this is I think the vast majority, who just don't care. And that's the one where it's like, I'm putting all this effort in and you just don't care. And your grade's going to suffer because of that. And there's not anything I can do about it. And it's definitely one of the worst parts of being a teacher. Is having kids who you know have potential, but because they choose not to use it, can't do much with it. Minnesota hockey fan, how about a hockey player? Says, maybe if I have time, may see if I can see Northman this weekend. Happy to hear that the movie is worth seeing. Good to see a movie about Vikings done well. 57% Viking myself. Nice. Very, very cool. Yeah, as I said before, I give it a solid B. I think it's a love-hate film, personally. I think a lot of people will like it. A lot of people will not like it. And then there will be a few people like me who are kind of in the middle with it, saying, you know what, I like certain elements of it. I like, you know, some of the things that they're able to do in the film. But in general, I think that they're... there's just one too many weird sequences and scenes that just take you out of the movie and just make it very, very difficult. By the way, I do have plans to go see on Thursday, because I saw someone comment about this saying, let's now convince Odin to go see the Nicolas Cage film. Right now, I do have a ticket to go see Nicolas Cage film on Thursday. So that was the next movie that I had planned. But I was waiting for the Thursday... movie times to open up first before committing to that one altogether, because I think there's only one new movie coming out this weekend, and it's as far as like mainstream films, and it's the film Memory, the new Liam Neeson film, which I just have no interest in seeing whatsoever. So I was trying to see and hope if there were going to be any films either coming back or sticking around. Based on what I'm looking at, it doesn't look like that's the case at the larger theater that I go to. And let me see if anything. I guess I could go see Fantastic Beasts. Fantastic Beasts. Oh, man. Oh, I make myself laugh sometimes. Go to see Fantastic Beasts. Oh, what a silly idea. What a silly concept. But yeah, it's a dead week because the week after is, of course, when the first Marvel summer film comes out, really the beginning and kickoff of the summer movie season with Doctor Strange 2, which, based off of the last projections I was looking at, has the film set to make quite a lot of money and could even break even in its opening weekend, which for a $200 million budget film, $500 million break-even point, is pretty impressive, regardless of how you feel about it. Nathan Slate says, please tell me that Everything Everywhere All at Once doesn't have a post-credit scene showing its connection to the MCU. It does not. And I guess not really a spoiler, because it's not in the, it's, there's nothing in this. There's no post-credit sequence. So, and I actually really like the ending as well. I needed to dive into the ending a little bit, but once it was explained, it made a lot more sense. But it's definitely a fun film. It's a fun film to think about. It's a fun film to see, like, where they got their ideas. It made me wish that I had someone there next to me where I could be like, all right, let's talk about this. Let's break this down. Serenity to Witches, what's going on? Welcome back. Minnesota hockey fan says, I don't know much about Norse mythology. I know more about ancient Egypt. Ah, interesting. Oh, you were talking to Tina. Sorry. Barge into that conversation. But, yeah, interesting. Yeah, I know some about Norse mythology. Not as much as some would think, because people, I don't think, recognize that the name Odin is a nickname that I have had since high school. And, obviously in the branding, I've utilized a lot of the imagery of Odin and everything like that. But sometimes people think that I'm like an expert on it. It's like, no, I'm actually I'm a devout traditional Catholic, which just makes it even more entertaining. Jacques Le Suave over on Odyssey says, if cars could be fueled by trash, we could power cars for decades with nothing more than Disney Plus content. Am I right? Well, actually, yes, that is true. But it's also true that we could run so many power plants because we have so much trash. We produce so much trash that if we could find a way to harness it, yeah, absolutely. Harwick says, all of the recent talk of the Northmen has reminded me, do you plan to see watch Conan the Barbarian anytime soon? I have it. I believe it's backed up on the server, or it's on my computer waiting to be backed up on the server. Not anytime soon. I need to watch these newer films first because I think I'm already past when I should be watching them. Because I believe Moonfall just came out today, I think, on physical media. So again, this is the 4K that they sent me. So Lionsgate's always very nice to me. So even though this film bombed the box office and doesn't look all that great, that image on the front looks phenomenal. And shout out to sending me that. So I want to watch that so I can give that a nice review. And then I've been wanting to see Jackass Forever. So Paramount, I believe. Yeah, Paramount sent me that one. That one went on sale last week. And yeah, Moonfall is now available on demand from Lionsgate. So you can get the 4K combo pack, Blu-ray combo pack, or DVD on demand. So if you have any interest in seeing Moonfall, it is indeed currently available to do. So those are like more so at the top of my list. And then I know I want to watch Spider-Man No Way Home with my wife. And then there's a plethora of films that I've been sent that I want to watch too. Hey, but it's crazy to think, and I scared some of the kids today because I was like, I hope y'all realize that we have nine individual classes, nine more times that I meet with each of the classes before exams, which is pretty amazing when you think about it, because that means summer is so much closer than one would think. Because next week we go into May. It's gonna be May. We go into May next week. And then, yeah. Basically, I've got this week. I've got next week. I've got one more week. And then exams. And then I'm done for the summer. And I don't have confirmation on this yet. I have not gotten my tickets yet. I'm still waiting to hear on what's going on with hotels. in the area, but there is a, I would say I'm at a 75% chance that I will be at MegaCon in Orlando. So I don't know if anyone else was planning on going to MegaCon, but 75% chance that I go, because getting there is not going to be too bad. I think it's about an 8-hour drive or so, which is nothing for me. I like driving in general. So, yeah. Just in case anyone was planning to go to MegaCon, 75% chance that I go myself. I'm just waiting to hear about hotels from some peeps. Masters of Nerdom, who's a member, says Netflix is going to be the next blockbuster video if they keep going down the woke path. And agreed. Maybe someone, hey, maybe Elon Musk. Maybe Elon Musk can buy Netflix. What if Elon Musk just starts to like buy everything? I don't know. I think that would actually be quite entertaining to see happen. It's like Elon Musk just buys everything. And it's like, oh, now you're going to start to go after someone for antitrust violations. Oh, okay. So just ignore Disney and ignore all of these other giant mega corporations. But Elon Musk as a single individual, yeah, we can't let him try and fix things. But anyway, even if it's not him, I just want someone else to be able to. Brian Barsa's Batman 2 was announced. Yeah, I mean, not much breaking news there, because I think it was expected. It made pretty good profits at the box office, and they were planning on having it. It was already planned for that film to be a franchise, in addition to having an HBO Max spinoff, if I'm not mistaken, or a couple of HBO Max spinoff shows. For sci-fi, I'd rather have one of those tic-tac UFOs if we're going to be dreaming here. Rhodes, I don't need no Rhodes. I would much rather have a DeLorean that runs on trash, but doesn't have the problem of running on a combustion engine. So that way, when I go back to the Old West and my fuel line gets ripped, now I'm just giving you the plot to Back to the Future 3, which I know it's the weakest of the films. I still love it. It's all one single film to me, and I think that they're all wonderful. They're all wonderful and fantastic. Let's see. Master Nerdum says, nuclear power has zero emissions, and have you heard they're working on nuclear batteries as well? See, that one I'm not as confident in, or I don't trust that nearly as much. Like, do you mean like a nuclear-powered battery for a car? Because that would make me a little bit more nervous. I would much rather them go the route of hydrogen for that, because for just creating electricity and energy in general, you've got nuclear power, you've got new nuclear reactors, which don't even create the waste that used to be a major problem and concern that a lot of environmentalists especially had, even though we had Yucca Mountain, and it was just sitting there, I think, barely doing anything. But then also, eventually, they're going to be able to figure out how to contain fusion energy. And once you have fusion energy, you almost have the capability of unlimited energy. So, you know, there's a lot of really cool innovations that are coming out the pipe. Unfortunately, they're focusing on things that are just silly. See, Forever Sci-Fi, you get the hydrogen for your car and a juicy steak. Wouldn't that be something? That would be great. And I've said this for a long time as well. If a hydrogen car became available in my area, and there was at least one nearby hydrogen station, and it was a feasible price, I'd get it. Because since high school, I have been really wanting and hoping for that technology to advance. Unfortunately, the only stations that exist are in Hawaii, Canada, and California. Or sorry, California. Sorry, I mispronounced it. Peabody Nick over on D-Lab, what's going on? What is going on? And should have read, oh my goodness, should have read that before highlighting it. I apologize for anyone if you were able to actually read that comment. Inappropriate. You're better than that, man. I don't care if it's lyrics or not. We run a clean family show here. A clean family show. Yeah, Lion King would have been Hamlet. That's what I thought. Yeah. I figured I'd have my experts. Stephanie B, what's going on, Stephanie B? How's it going? How's it going, Stephanie B? Welcome, 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 welcome. Sorry if my hello or welcome is late, but my brain is fractured. If you've seen Everything Everywhere All at Once, that's actually a reference. Input latency. In regards to hydrogen, sustainability isn't attractive to people who want short-term gain. Goes for business as well as spiritual stuff. See how many people bet against Pascal's wager. Well, I agreed to that first part about business because they want something that they can get quickly. And also, if the technology that they're doing quickly is one that will keep people dependent and will eventually lead them back to them, then yeah, I mean, obviously that's the nature of business, unfortunately. Remember how they used to build things that would last. That's why I love that one guy on, his name is Scotty something on YouTube who does all the car stuff. You know, rev up your engines, because he tells very clear cut, he gives very clear cut responses to so many of the questions that he gets about cars. And one of the things he's always consistent about is, if you look at the old Honda motors, I think is the main one he looks at, he's like, the way they built these, they were built to last. You look at these modern motors and they're not built to last. It's a bit of a scam, really. So yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. Now, the second part about Pascal's wager, the issue with Pascal's wager is that it is a terrible philosophical principle. It's a terrible philosophical principle, and it drives me nuts. I get triggered, not really, but it drives me nuts to a point whenever Tim Pool brings it up, especially when he brings up Pascal's wager. Well, it's that simplest explanation. It's like, here's the problem. Complex explanations also tend to be true. Both simple and complex explanations not only can be true, but also tend to be true. We're not going to talk about math. We're not going to talk about science, which have complex equations and complex, you know, we got to go with the simplest. No. Patui, I spit at Pascal's wager. It's a terrible philosophical principle. Terrible philosophical principle. And I think it just leads to a laziness of thought, because you say, well, it's the simplest thing. And it's like, no. There's the truth, and then there's not truth. So whether it's simple or not, let's find out what the truth actually is. That's where we should be. That's where we should stay. Let's see. Candy T says here, the Nick Cage movie is good but weird, not as good as The Northman. Now, is it as weird as The Northman? Is one question to ask. And then, is it a fun kind of weird like Everything Everywhere All at Once? Maybe someone who's seen all of them can speak to that. Mr. Womack says, totally out of context, do you know if any of your students are watching your streams? Yeah, I know that some of them mention it every now and then, but yeah, it happens. It's kind of hard to hide it, especially if even just one finds out about it. All they need to do is put it out on Twitter, or not, sorry, that they would never use Twitter. All they have to do is put it out through their, you know, what they do. I think they do like Snapchat, Instagram, and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, everyone knows about it. I will say, though, that my kids are awesome. And I'm very happy with the kids that I'm very happy with the kids that I have where I am. Because at my old school, oh, man, some of those, and they've graduated since then, the ones I'm talking about from the old school, some of them were just tools. Some of them were just complete tools. So I'm very, very happy with the ones I have. Helen Berger says, but if you don't watch Memory, how will you know if Liam Neeson has a whole new special set of skills or not? How will I know if he has a conversation with somebody on the phone? Daniel T. over on Odyssey brings up a good point, and I do have an issue. He says, I figured you'd be against Musk's stance on jabs and transhumanism and his comments on combining the two. Oh, I am. Don't get me wrong. If you think I am praising him 100%, if you think that I am worshiping the ground that he walks on, I am not by any means whatsoever. And I even have said he's not perfect. And that is one of the biggest problems, is his understanding and embracement of transhumanism. because transhumanism is a incredibly dangerous thought and philosophical idea. And it is something that, honestly, I think has so many dangerous ramifications. Because once you start to, and in a lot of ways, if you've ever read Ready Player One, don't watch the movie. The movie sucks. Spielberg, just, he's lost it. But the book Ready Player One is so, so good. And one of the things I love about the book is how it goes into what society will look like in a transhuman and transhumanistic philosophical world, essentially. One that has embraced a transhumanistic philosophy. And you start to realize how dangerous it is. It's similar to, in a different account, or rather, it's similar to a different problem with genetics. Gattaca. So Gattaca is to, I think, genetics, genetic engineering, and the dangers of that, as Ready Player One is to the dangers of transhumanism and transhumanistic philosophy. So no, I am very much opposed. I am incredibly opposed to that. So I hope that is very clear. And then the R says, maybe it could be too busy for me to go to Orlando, which is supposed to be any G&G going to con. Yeah, so several members of the Geeks and Gamers team are going. I don't think it's not going to be, at least at this point, to my knowledge, there is not a major meetup planned by any means. I think it's more of a, hey, a bunch of us are going. If you're there, awesome. And maybe we can try and get something set up. But at this point, there's not. I know that the bigger one that they have set up for, I think it's another Friday Night Tights meetup, is, I think, in October. I think that's the one that is supposed to be in Vegas. That's one I won't be able to go to because it's in October, which means literally we're at the very beginning of the school year, and I just can't justify going on a vacation at the beginning of a school year. I hate missing school in general because it makes me fall behind, and then it just drives me nuts. Anyway, Rob D, there should be a movie about you, Odin. I am Odin. I'm the critic who is a cynic. I love math and box office tracking. Pineapple on pizza is anathema, and MCU stans hate me. I don't know. It sounds like a boring story, to be honest. Victor Fontaine, a dead theater movie week means it's good week to get back into Deep Space Nine. That's a good point, Victor Fontaine. An even better week to get into that would be exam week, when we have essentially half days. And the summertime. Very, very excited for the summertime. Nathan Slay says, can you check to see if Last Night in Soho has made its money back through home video sales? Well, home video sales are always delayed by quite a bit. And I can just say right now, the chances of that being the case are not very likely. So we are running close to the end of time. But I will, because I know especially Tina, who's one of my Valks, loves this movie. I love this movie too, but I know that she especially loved it a lot. So I doubt it. Yeah, it's only made 1.1 million in total sales. It's made $233,000 from DVD sales and $961,000 from estimated Blu-ray sales. So again, these are estimated sales. And when it comes to Blu-ray and DVD sales, these are always delayed. There's always a pretty massive delay in their reporting. And it's really not a reliable metric, unfortunately. Not until several months have passed by can you really get a grasp of what a film actually made. Let's see, Mr. Peabody says, so you're still hoping that Mr. Fusion is still on the horizon along with the other stuff from Back to the Future? Oh, absolutely. Especially hoverboards. By the way, howdy. Howdy, Mr. Peabody. Hope things are going well in Australia. How's it going, mate? Sorry, Western Australia. I should have been more specific. How dare. It was very irresponsible of me to compare you to the rest of Australia. Minnesota hockey fan is talking to Tina. I just saw that at the end of it. It is not a sponsored stream. I don't do sponsored streams. Unless there was an actual like legit sponsor that I actually like use or believe in, that paid for a sponsor spot. I would have no desire to do that. Coliseum Builders, try driving in New Jersey. You'll soon hate driving. Well, no, no. By I love driving, what I mean is I love road trips. I love being on the interstate, moving along, listening to podcasts, listening to audiobooks, jamming out to music. I don't know. Also, the fact that I can, you know, make up pretty good time on the interstate as well. Hamlin Berger, what's your favorite Charles Grodin movie? I think I've been asked this question before, but if I haven't been asked this exact question, the answer is still the same, because it's also one of my favorite Martin Short films, and that's the film Clifford. Love Clifford. It is so funny. Very, very dark comedy, I would say. Very, very dark comedy. NPC Buck 76 over on DLive. Fusion requires bunches of heat to happen. Exactly. And that's why they haven't figured it out yet, because it creates so much heat. They have not figured out a way to contain the heat and to keep it cool. But once they figure that out, now I think that they'll have better luck with the fission technology, with the typical standard nuclear technology, because of, what is it, the thorium reactors that they have now, because they don't melt down and they don't produce the same type of waste that the previous ones create. So I think those are likely. Again, I think if we were to actually put our money where our mouth is and say we want to be energy independent, guess what? There's a path forward, and it takes 5 to 10 years, but it requires us to actually move forward. Harvick says, Conan the Barbarian is a similar concept of the Northmen, barbarian hero seeking vengeance against his father's killer, but has less of a weird approach, so you might like it more. Ah, yes. That sounds like it would probably be the case. And Minnesota hockey fan, it's like the third time you've almost tricked me. Put Tina's name at the beginning of that message. That also helps me out if you're talking to somebody else. Let us see. NBC Buck says, Pascal's wager is fear-based. That's not faith. Well, that's just a thing, too. It's not a theological principle. It's a philosophical principle. It was developed by a Catholic priest, actually. Was he a priest? He was a Catholic friar, at the very least. But yeah, Pascal's wager. I think what you're thinking of... Oh, you know what? No. Sorry, I messed up. Occam's razor was what I was describing earlier. Occam's razor was the principle of the simplest explanation tends to be true, which is, again, bunk philosophy. Pascal's wager... So, okay, let me just now clarify that, because in the context of how it was mentioned, and maybe the person who said Pascal's wager actually meant Occam's razor, because... Based on the context, that is what I thought they were trying to say, which is why I gave the explanation. Anyway, scratch that, reverse it. Occam's razor is the philosophical principle that says that the simplest explanation tends to be true. But that is bogus. That is complete bogus nonsense, because complex explanations also tend to be true as well. And so it's not a very good philosophical principle. Pascal's wager is a theological understanding for God's existence, which is also a really bad argument for God's existence, because it is not an argument. All that it is saying, hey, either you believe in God and God does exist and you gain everything, you deny God, God does exist, you lose everything, you believe in God, God does not exist, you lose nothing, with the concept being, what have you got to lose in faith? And that's not a very good argument. And I would say it has less to do with fear and more to do with faulty argumentation, which is why when I teach the proofs for God's existence from Thomas Aquinas in the beginning of the year, that's always the last one I bring up, because that's obviously not, one, it's not from Aquinas, but two, it's because it's the weakest, and I always try to make it very, very clear that it is not an argument for or really against God's existence, because it's more of a thought process. It's more of a process of the mind, a working of the mind, as it were. Laura, shortest story, the modern major general, what's going on? Thanks for being here. Let's see. Howard Berger says, Occam's Razor would like to have a word with you about your critique of Pascal's Wager. Thank you. Okay. So yeah, I didn't see the live chat, but don't worry. I figured it out. I knew the principles. It was, again, I think the way it was asked, I think the person who said it meant Occam's Razor. And that's why I gave the description. Both are bad principles, just for different reasons. But thank you for catching that. Masters of Nerdom says, we need more teachers like you and less like the ones on TikTok. Well, except when I make mistakes like that. But again, that was more of an honest mistake because I know the clear difference between those two. It's just, again, I think whoever brought it up was using it in the wrong way. Let's see. Lesser Logic, what's going on? All right, we're going to go ahead and wrap things up. So I'm going to try and get as many last minute comments as I can. Let's see. Hardwick, I see Ready Player One as being more about the dangers of virtual reality. When I think of transhumanism, the Borg, Star Trek, and Cybermen, Doctor Who come to mind. Yeah, but Ready Player One, again, virtual reality, but it's talk. The way in which it's transhumanism is because you are entering into a virtual world and that becomes your reality. And so in a way, it is a direct path. It is, you know how socialism is the system that leads to communism? Virtual reality, for Ready Player One concepts, is what leads to transhumanism. And yeah, I would also add to that the movie Transcendence with Johnny Depp. By the way, terrible movie. Fox, what's going on? Nope. Not going to be able to make that work. Haven't moved anywhere on DS9. Just, again, haven't had the time. Let's see. Daniel Thorne, what's going on? NPC has the bells on. Appreciate it. Cat and Philly, what's going on? Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Vincent Womack mentioning someone else. Yeah, transhumanism is just not good. Soul Extraction. Hail Odin. What's going on, Soul Extraction? We're dropping things. Novus Renaissance. Hail to you. Thank you very much for being here as we get to the end of our stream. Time to go hit the treadmill, says Forever Sci-Fi. Hope you have a good run. Appreciate you being here. Hardwick, do you think superhero concept in general glorifies transhumanism as they are either genetically or cybernetically advanced? I've seen some people make that argument. I personally don't. I think I could see them going in that direction, but, you know, not necessarily. Bruce, can't God be the reason why and not the reason how? Oh, now we're getting into even deeper philosophical principles. Can't God be both the why and the how? And the what? And most importantly, the who? Bruce, I learned that last one in a South Park episode. Ah, I got you. Gotta love South Park. I've fallen behind on that one as well. Fallen behind on that one by quite a bit. No, not teaching math that way. I don't teach math in the first place, except for box office breakdowns. So anyway, those are all the comments as they stand. So I just wanted to say thank you to everybody. Let's see, the R, may could be too busy. Go to Orlando's. Do you ever think of creating videos of these nifty Catholic ideas that you teach? So one of the things that I do on the, and it'll come back over the summer, I have that second channel, the OMB Report. And the main thing I do is I cover news from a Catholic independent perspective. And so a lot more elements of faith tend to come out during those videos, as I also will cover things like church news and church stories and such. So that's the channel where I plan to do that. I would not be able to create a third channel at this point. It would drive me crazy. It would drive a lot of other people crazy also. And it is what it is. But yes, thank you very much for being here. Smash that like button, light that fire button on Odyssey. Also, check into Tuesday night's main event on the Geeks and Gamers channel tonight. Lots of awesome people over there. Good group, good crew. And also, I saw it earlier. I saw the event. It looks like they are also streaming on YouTube and streaming to Odyssey as well. So Odyssey fam, looks like you might be able to actually watch Tuesday night's main event from Odyssey as well. I don't know if this is the first time they're doing it or if they've been doing it already, but even if they haven't, it's great. Anyway, thank you very much for all of your love and attention. Please smash that like button, light that fire button. Shout out to the mods, shout out to the Valkyrie, Tina and Steph. Y'all are beautiful. Y'all are amazing. Also, if you are a Patreon or Subscribestar member, please check Subscribestar's main page and Patreon's main page, as there are going to be changes going into effect for most of the tiers. And I explain in that post what those changes will be and what that transition will look like as well. I think in the end, it'll end up being for the better. And I hope to be able to add other stuff as far as what the ends of videos looks like. Instead of it just being a three or four minute video, I think the changes I'm going to make is going to help cut that down quite a bit. Especially when I have shorter videos, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to have that much content there. But also too, I'm hoping to maybe have like music playing in the background or something like that. Anyway, that's just me speaking out of my hat. Yes, that's right. I'm going to say it out of my hat. Anyway, you guys are all amazing and beautiful people. I don't have any ice cream, sadly. So maybe some chocolate milk to soothe the throat. I don't know if I have any other desserts. We'll have to wait and see. Anyway, you guys are all amazing and beautiful people. Hope you all have a wonderful rest of your evening. And as always, God bless. And now for a huge shout out to all of my April Patreon, Subscribestar, and Locals members. Starting off with Patreon with animation commentator Brandon. Let's go, Brandon. Brian P. Christopher Bowman. Father Christopher Miller. Hail to you, Father. Father Damian Cook. Garrett Searles. Harold Francis. Hymir Ari Hymison. Inflamed Wood. Jacob from Holland. Jeff Toon. Joe Horn. Jonathan Carney. Gomer Kyle 79, Laura, the Modern Major General Story, Mike Jackson, Mad Mitch Dunaway, Mondo Spieler, Mr. Peabody, On to June, Orange Hat Reviews, Priscilla Hall, Rosella Allen, Stan Andrian, Miss Martin Muses, Theodore Benden, Tina Bojan, and Tina B., the Empress of the Universe. Thank you very much for supporting me over on Patreon. And also to my Subscribestar peeps, Matt 317, Storm Tracker, The R, Fast Reaction, Nosferatu Gatsu, Stan 4, John B., Mr. Roy, Glinzer, J. Alice McCarthy Jr., Dean Heiss, J-Rod the Beer Guru, and ZK Man. And also a huge shout out to my Locals members, starting off with Kara Tharp, KTharp56, also UAB Mad Dog, Mike Jackson, Robert Barnes, and also a huge support as well to Brett D90. Thank you very much for supporting me over on Locals. Thank you again to everyone for supporting the channel. Please, if you want your name shouted out at the end of every live stream and video, go ahead and check out the top link at the video description. It is my Willow link, as I like to describe it, and it brings you to a link tree where you get access to all of these different locations, as well as all of the various social media platforms that you can follow me on. If you join at the Citizen of Asgard level, you get your name shouted out at the end of every single live stream and video. Army of Asgard level gets you that, plus you get access to a giveaways channel that I have on Discord. If you ever don't have access to that giveaways channel, please contact me. I do send out the link to the Discord and with the instructions on it at the beginning of every single month. But if you don't have access to that giveaways channel where I'm giving away 4Ks and Blu-rays and all that kind of stuff, as much as I possibly can give away is available there, please just reach out to me and I will gladly walk through the process to make sure you get access to that giveaways channel. And again, that is, again, Army of Asgard level, whether you be on Patreon, Subscribestar, or on Locals. Also, if you are the Keeper of the Bifrost level, you get access to all of that. Plus, you get access to a podcast that I do with John the Flick Pick Flickinger. We try and do it once or twice a month. I think we're going to try and do it twice this month to make up for some miscommunication that we had last month. So be on the lookout for
for that, and look out for those podcast Q&A posts that are always available on the Patreon main page, the Subscribestar main page, on the YouTube side of things as well. The YouTube community tab, you'll always find the podcast Q&A there, and also on the Locals page as well. And if you join at the Chosen of Valhalla level, the highest of the levels, you get access to all of that. Plus, if it's your first month, you get a free t-shirt, any t-shirt you want from my Teespring, my TeePublic, whichever one you want to get it from. You just let me know the size, location I'm sending it to, color, that kind of stuff. You get it sent to you. Plus, you get to be featured once a month on the Chosen of Valhalla live stream, where we all come together and just talk about movies and really anything the Chosen want to talk about. And it is a lot of fun. Anyway, thank you all very much for your love and for your support. You guys are all amazing and beautiful people. Hope you all have a wonderful rest of your day. And as always, God bless.